I promise you, this is the most revealing, most interesting interview that you will come across. It talks about things that everybody are doing it every single day, which is jitna kahe utna kam hai. It is not about scaring you, but it's about
question is not about, you know, whether I'm going to get hacked or not. But the question is when. Telling about the basic hygiene. Remove your browser history every week at least. If you're not, I would say everyone is vulnerable. There are no free lunches in this world. If there is something calling you and asking, you know, you have won this lottery, you have to be very cautious. The next war or major one is going to be cyber warfare. And that might happen after.
Hi, I'm Jyoti Rai, your host for Enigma India. Today's episode is indeed a special one. It's special because it talks about things that you, me, and everybody are doing it every single day, which is social media. And recently with ChatGPT, large language models coming out, it just took the world with surprise, hundreds of options and drafts. But this episode is not about ChatGPT. It's about the second layer, the layer of technology, a technological crossfire today we all are part of. Social media hamari life se jaane wala hai nahi. So we will be an important part of the social media space. But the more we are in it, the more vulnerable we are. Vulnerability is something that you have given to your platforms, to your apps, by giving them permission to read your text messages, email IDs, and pictures, videos, just to name few. Today, apps can store your password even if you haven't agreed for such kind of a permission. Well, jitna kahe utna kam hai, it is not about scaring you, but it's about, at least now, understanding that how grave the issue is if you don't cover up your social media footprints. We are talking about cybercrime in the age of AI. I promise you, this is the most revealing, most interesting interview that you will come across. Joining me today is a special guest who has been mover and shaker in the cybersecurity space. Someone with 20 years plus experience and who is also a member of Forbes Technical Council. My guest is Munish Gupta, President and Global Advisory Head, Inspira. Thank you, Munish, for joining this.
Thanks, Jyoti. Thanks for having me.
Lovely.
So looking forward to have a, you know, candid conversation around cybersecurity.
Absolutely. We have seen incidences, and something that made me come in the cyberspace when I actually saw a pensioner fund, pensioner's mm-hmm. own fund, getting, losing his funds because of a hacking for a silly phone call. And pensioner lost the whole life saving. That pensioner was my father's friend. It, of course, made me very angry. And that was not the only incident. It happened with more near and dear ones. Initially, I felt sorry for them. But especially for the pensioner friend of my father, I felt like burning the system down.
Yep.
But then I said, that's not the best way to do it. Let's start a dialogue. Start a dialogue with cybersecurity expert. And how big is the scare of AI and the vulnerabilities in social media that we as a users have left? How big is that? Sabka number aega?
Definitely. So I think the question is not about, you know, whether I'm going to get hacked or not. Mm. The question is when.
Oh.
So that's why. So I think what she really said, you know, everybody is vulnerable and it might happen. So it boils down to how prepared we are to minimize the damage and the loss when something like this happens. How aware we are with respect to do's and don'ts to minimize our attack surface or threat footprint so that, you know, at least these things are happening, technology is getting advanced, the attacks are going to be more. But we can minimize the damage and secure our information. So which boils down to, I think, different aspects. You mentioned about the corporations. It has to be technology controls. You mentioned about end users, you know, common people, like pensioner fund and all that. So there has to be awareness about cybersecurity, because it's much easier with the phone in your hand or laptop available at your disposal. And then you have every information available at your disposal on internet. But the thing is that how to use that information and how to provide your information also. Right? So those are kind of things, you know, with which, you know, we can navigate this challenge.
So let's talk about the giants which are in the business of technology. Of course, you're on top of all the mother of all crimes, or father of all crimes have happened in the cyberspace. The infamous Yahoo breach, followed by Google. And I recently read that there has been 12 plus terabyte of data which has been leaked, which is beyond even people's imagination, the billions of records that have gone out.
Yeah, so from that context, if we have to put it, you know, how real this hacker's menace is there and how real this threat is. So let me give you one example. So 2 days before, the water companies in US and UK have been attacked by ransomware. So for example, the biggest corporation in US, Veolia, and in UK, the Southern, you know, the water company, has been attacked by ransomware, disrupting the supply and crumbling their infrastructure. So it means it's real, it's happening. So last year itself, the city of Oakland in California has to declare state of emergency because it was hit by ransomware and the known emergency services were completely crippled, and some of the buildings has to shut temporarily because people were not having access to it. So it shows the kind of a scale, you know, it can affect our day-to-day lives and the kind of business. Another example, I have to bring it in Indian context. So last year, you know, you might be aware about the AIIMS, what has happened in Delhi.
Yes.
The systems were not available. It was affecting, you know, that emergency services and the critical patient services that have to provide, because the admins or the doctors were not having access to the data, and it took so many days to bring it back. Another thing, ICMR, Indian, you know, that research agencies have been hacked last year itself. So it boils down to the kind of attacks are happening across the geo, across the globe, across the continent, and it's going to happen more and more. It's only thing is that how governments, how corporations, and how as individuals, we follow the safeguard to minimize the threat and withstand the challenge that is arising because of these ransomware or other attacks.
Yes. In fact, I have a lot of questions on ransomware. It is said that already 40 to 50% of Fortune 500 companies are already hit by one or the other kind of an attack, right? Is it true?
It's true. And if we have to put that in certain context, the thing is that the numbers that you have been shared, those might be in public domain. But most of, I would say the more than 50% are not being coming in the public domain, where the company's being hacked and they are paying ransom also, but not disclosing. So the menace is much larger than what we can see, right? Second thing is that if you have to look at the ransomware or the cyber attacks, you know, the rise year on year, 38 to 40% rise is happening. That is one thing. The second thing is that average cost, if we have to put in Indian context, is $1 million to $2 million that you have to pay. So it's a reality.
Let's move ki how many companies in India you think, both listed or unlisted, SMEs ki to baat hi nahi karte hain, are vulnerable today? Are 100% vulnerable, or there are few companies which are?
I would say everyone is vulnerable.
Okay.
Because the thing is that the moment you will start thinking that I'm not vulnerable, that time you are going to get more vulnerable, because then you will be relaxed on your cyber security. So it's a never-ending story. You have to keep churning effort to minimize the threat footprint, to make sure that your people are aware, process are in place, you are doing the regular audit. So from a security professionals, we believe that every company is vulnerable. Now let's see, if the attack is going to happen, how we can minimize our attack surface.
Right. Interesting. So let me change this question a bit. From a vulnerability point of view, one has to keep upping your game.
Precisely.
On the toes kind of an approach to cyber vigilance or security systems and stuff. But I'm going to change this question. Ki how many companies today in India, you think, they are listed, they are unlisted, are not ready yet for safeguarding themselves completely? Aisa koi company jisne full form proof banaya ho? Because you meet so many companies and stuff.
Yeah. So if I have to put it in this perspective, I would say the companies, you know, which are mature enough, mm-hmm. and have controls in process and even ongoing monitoring everything. So I would say, you know, around 25% large enterprise, I would say the banks are in very good shape. And they have a regular infrastructure and they are very vocal about bringing the awareness also. Other perspective, 70%, if I say from a penetration perspective, penetration perspective, what I'm saying, investing into cybersecurity, bringing the awareness within employees also, there are still mountains to climb and long way to go.
So while surveying and researching and realized that some of the bank holders feel that the private sector banks mein unke account safe hain, like the likes of HDFC, ICICI, Axis and all, while they feel that with all this hacking going on and Jamtara incident, it is to do with more government banks and not which are not very sophisticated with regards to technology, is the kind of a myth, or what would you like to say on that?
So I would say when we have to see the banks, be it a private or the government PSU banks, right? From a government or the regulatory perspective from India, you know, the regulations are same for everyone, right? And I think every bank, be it PSU or the private sector, don't want its information to get leaked or it's a user is getting, you know, caught in this fraud. The only thing is that sometimes what happens is the private bank, because of the fast and speedy internal approval process, they are able to
move things
start
around.
Certain initiatives, you know, have an early mover advantage. So the PSU, sometimes it takes time. But I think from that question perspective, both are trying to do that. PSU banks, some has legacy infrastructure or the legacy issues that they have to get rid of.
Right.
So the question boils down to, while the banks are trying to secure their backend infrastructure, be it PSU or private, it boils down to the end user awareness. You give an example of Jamtara and something. Yeah. So Munish, for example, if Bank never say, you know, you share your OTP with someone or you share your PIN with someone. Banks never do that. But it's, I have to take care of because that's my personal information. And so, again, I would say, I've mentioned it, so many, there are no free lunches in this world. If there is something calling you and asking, you know, you have won this lottery or this is a scheme, you're getting free, please share OTP, you have to be very cautious. There are no free lunches and let me validate the information. So it's I would say the human greed, carelessness also. So that's where it boils down to. While the banks are trying also, and as a citizen, right, we have to also ensure that we validate the information and don't be a greedy and be cyber aware if you're operating from a phone or from our laptop.
Right.
So it's boils on to behavior also.
Behavior. And I think you've said it very rightly that bank, kya kar raha hai, technology, you know, upgrades and stuff is fine. Okay. Everybody is trying to work hard to fix the loopholes and stuff. Banks are not behind. They are very aware of their responsibility as their guardian of our, you know, funds. But then it boils down to users.
Precisely.
The account holders. Agar aap hi OTP baatte rahenge ya aap scam call se carried away hoke.
You can't blame bank.
You can't blame
right,
bank.
Because,
right.
For example, you buy a pack of cigarette. It always says smoking is injurious to health. But still, again, the kind of penetration, people are buying it.
Right.
It's a behavioral aspect.
Right. No, speaking of behavior, I think this is going to be very, very interesting. Aisa Jamtara mein seekha maine ki I think the hackers know the vulnerabilities very well. और मे बी साइकोलॉजी, साइकोलॉजी ऑफ फियर, साइकोलॉजी ऑफ ग्रीड, कि भैया बैंक से फ़ोन आ रहा है, वो मुझे 50,000 रुपये दे रहा है सामने से, बट उसके लिए मुझे सिर्फ 5,000 या 10,000 रुपये देने हैं.
Precisely.
It looks like a good deal, right? Do you think cyber vigilance or cyber security also uses the same thing to keep a tap on hackers? Is there any common ground? Because hackers have found a common ground with its, whom they're hacking. Have you found a common ground with hackers?
No, definitely. There are so many things happen when we talk about the cyber vigilance, right? And you're saying when you talk comes to the cyber vigilance of the corporations, so there are certain terminology or certain methods that we use. So for example, one of the major thing is we try to, or I think we do a lot of exercises also, to actually try to hack the environment. And a lot of banks doing that. Even some of the guidelines by the government of India mandates that you have to have this penetration and vulnerability testing every 6 months and 1 year. So actually try to simulate the threat scenario which can be used by attacker and try to see, you know, how robust our system is. So
this is interesting.
We called it as a vulnerability testing and the penetration testing or the web application testing. For example, if there's a bank website is there, the bank will ask third party, especially in that, try to penetrate it and give us the report so that we can identify the loopholes and fix it. And it's a mandatory. You have to do it every 6 months or a routine period. So it's a part of hygiene. That is one thing. Second thing is that what is happening in the large corporations and the bank is that in every organization, or that is what from a cybersecurity we recommend, you have a two teams. One is blue team. One is red team. Blue team has to build the system all the time, have security and control in place. The red team will be there and they have to start breaking it so that there will be internal, that struggle is happening. And objective is to make sure that the system is good enough and they can identify the vulnerabilities on time before the hacker is able to identify.
So and, this is brilliant what you have just shared.
And validate. Yep.
Yeah. So matrix concept, blue pill, red pill is working well for you.
It's a reality. Okay. It's a happening, right? So yeah.
So is this an activity that is showing you immediate results? Like when you do this simulation for companies that you consult, you advise, are you seeing some good results?
So there are two and three different things. In certain scenarios, what happens is that there's a process from a cyber security perspective that we run. Like, for example, you might have heard terms on MDR or a SOC, Cyber Security Operations Center. So all these companies have in the back-end security operations center. So where there are a number of devices getting the logs, like millions of logs are being checked. There's a technology behind it, which we call XDR, MDR, and there are, you know, the same tool or a security, you know, the intelligence or threat intelligence being captured. And you won't imagine, you know, the around 100,000 or more than that, the logs are being analyzed, correlated to identify that where is a problem, where they have to take the next step to fix it, whether it's a patch piecing, whether there's a vulnerability, it's happening. So which will give you a result in a real time. Then we were talking about the red teaming or the penetration testing. It takes time, like it takes around a week or in certain cases, depending on the landscape more, and the report is being presented to. There are two different aspects depending on the scope. Like, what do you want to check for? So we were just talking about the penetration testing and all. Sometimes, you know, you have to do audit from a compliance perspective also. For example, there is a ISO 27000, or let's say there's a NIST 853, or let's assume there is a realtor like Amazon, Flipkart.com, PCI DSS, payment card industry, because they take your credit card data. So they are subjected to audit. So then there will be assessment and audit the banks has to do from that perspective, that how we are complying to that, what are the gaps? And to fix those gaps, what are the steps we have to take? So that's what I'm saying, you know, for the in the back end, it's a never-ending story. We are speaking, but I think a lot of CISOs, data privacy officer, information security experts spending a lot of time to make sure that the end services the user consume or what you're getting is stable and it can withstand attack and your information is secure.
ओके ऑलराइट. सो ये तो एक बहुत एक कॉर्पोरेट स्ट्रेट कट अप्रोच हो गई. लेट्स टॉक अबाउट साइबर विजिलेंस इन अ वेरी इन अ डिफरेंट कॉन्सेप्ट हियर फ्रॉम अ वेरी डिफरेंट पर्सपेक्टिव. सो पहले तो बताइए साइबर विजिलेंस जब होती है मॉनिटरिंग, सो व्हाट वुड बी योर हीट मैप फॉर अ सिक्योरिटी ऑफ अ स्मार्ट सिटी वुड लुक लाइक, लाइक फॉर एन एग्जांपल जस्ट टू
प्रिसाइसली. सो आई थिंक साइबर विजिलेंस इज समथिंग टू आइडेंटिफाई बिफोर इट हैपेंस और आई वुड से IOCs, indicator of attacks or indicator of a compromise. So for a smart city, how the SOC or the NOC, Security Operations Center or NOC will look like? Definitely, there will be not 100, but couple of big screens which will be on a real time showing the progressive it's happening. So where there are threats, critical vulnerabilities, medium vulnerability, low vulnerability, and which requires attention. And there will be a couple of guys sitting to 24/7 monitoring it. Right. If you take example of SOC, it's around sometimes more than 200 people are just sitting to monitor and take actions and record, you know, what is happening.
Outstanding, because this question came to me and this got very, you know, endorsed. That usually, if you must have experienced, I, you know, happened several times with me where I'm abroad and I swipe my card. If it's of a large amount, I would get a call, even in India. And I am amazed. It's an actual person, not an AI bot calling me from HDFC Bank, but an actual person calling me, ma'am, we saw a swipe. It's unconventional route. Matlab, this is not the country I regularly visit, or this is not the amount that I usually do. They would call.
So that boils down to other controls, and especially in a banking sector, it's being provided. So for example, before a few years back, you have to access your banking website or even your app. You're just going to have your bank account or the username and the password. But the banks have moved away from that because that was not able to create a, you know, deterrent for the hackers. Now, if you see the kind of services you might be using, Indian banks or the international banks, they're using multi-factor authentication. Sometimes you have to enter your password and then the OTP that will be coming on your phone, on your email. Even after you are doing that, the third thing is that if it's a large transaction that is going to happen, it will ask for the grid number, which will be on the back of your card, just to ensure that you are who you are saying, you have the things provided by a bank to validate your identity. The third thing is that they have a, you know, in the back end, the algorithms, or you can say AI or fraud risk engines, which create risk profile of each user. So for example, Jyoti most of the time operate from Mumbai. And in average, you are doing a transactions of around 50,000, let's say. But on a very fine morning, you are accessing the information from a Goa. The kind of transaction you are doing is a 500,000. Then it will generate an alert. That's where the call will be coming, whether the transaction is real or not.
Right.
So this is the another technique based on that certain thresholds being defined for certain use cases, that if the threshold increase, it might be the fraudulent activity gonna happen. The same way we do within the corporate sector, that creating a risk profile for the employees who will be working on a confidential projects or who will be accessing the information, which in our terminology we call a role-based access control. What it means that if there is a software engineer who is supposed to work on a basic day-to-day work, and suddenly if he's trying to access a system which is a highly confidential, it will generate an alert and he won't get the access because his role doesn't allow that. Only we will provide access to certain roles, the kind of a need to know and the least privileges. If you need to know only this much information, you will all get only that much information. So this is why the role-based access control or the role-based or the risk-based profiling is very important. And this is what's happening in the background in the industry.
So Manish, it's important to know what is the deterrent for hackers, because social media to use karna nahi chhod sakte. It is like giving your life away for people, right? Main ek appeal banau कि यूजर्स आप सोशल मीडिया छोड़ दो. तो यू नो मजाक में कहते हैं ना कि हाउ टू अवॉइड डिवोर्सेज इन लाइफ, डोंट गेट मैरिड. सो ऑन द सिमिलर कॉन्सेप्ट, व्हाट यू थिंक, लेट्स डिवाइड इनटू टू पार्ट्स. कॉर्पोरेट्स के लिए इफ दे वांट टू डेटर हैकर्स, व्हाट आर द थिंग्स दे नीड टू बिल्ड अप फ्रॉम अ यूजर इंडिविजुअल पर्सपेक्टिव, व्हाट आर द डेटरेंट्स फ्रॉम अ हैकर्स पर्सपेक्टिव. सो प्लीज tell us all your tips.
Yeah, so I think deterrence from a hacker's perspective, let's start with the end user, like you and me, right? So, irrespective of whether we are consuming that information via our mobile phone or through the laptop, the first deterrence for hacker is that we have to follow certain do's and don'ts or ensure a cyber hygiene. Let me give you one example. You have a phone. Wherever you are going, most of your information is in phone. Never leave it unattended. That is the first basic rule. Never leave your phone unattended. Have a strong password into that. Or if possible, in certain cases, like these, today's phone, make sure that your face, retina, or you know, thumb, you know, authentication is there so that nobody can use that. That is one thing. Second thing, and I think I've seen a lot of people doing that mistake. Lot of people from end users, they have enabled this autofill information on their phones. It means you're going to any website and you select autofill. It has pre-populated your username, password and information. Which is putting you at a lot of a risk because your information is personal or rest of the thing is there. You're going in a water setting, autofill, remove it from there. You don't need to autofill. It's much better to type something than having it autofill because your system is going to compromise. Your information is at more risk. Another thing is that because these days you're just searching on a Google for a, you know, washing machine or a blender. Suddenly you realize, you know, your Gmail or your emails, you will start getting the mails about the offer on the washing machine, best brand and something on your cookies. Why it is happening? Because the cookies are there. And knowingly and unlikely, you click on accept cookies. Any website these days, if you see, you might have noticed that notification is coming. So it's up to you to remove it. Same happens with the travel companies. You wanted to travel from Chandigarh to Delhi, the flight tickets, and you start getting the ads from everyone. So how we can navigate that? First of all, make sure that just don't accept cookies just like that until unless you have to consume that information. Second thing is that any browser or phone that you use, be it Android or iPhone or browser Chrome, remove your, I'm telling about the basic hygiene.
Please.
Remove your browser history, your passwords, information every week at least. If you're not, can't do that daily, every week. So that once you will do that, it will remove all the cookies that you have accepted. It will remove the auto passwords that might be there and it remove your history. So you are at less risk. Canceling autofill and removing that history. Third thing is that when you're, let's assume you're accessing Facebook. When accessing Facebook, so many ads are coming. Flipkart has this much sale or this thing is cheaper on Amazon.com. Or sometimes the ads, you click on it, you know, it seems very cheap. Let's click on that. But that thing is that you have to check whether it's directly from that link or it's somebody trying to you know, redirect you to the fake website where they're just going to take the information and not going to provide the product. So it's always better, you wanted to buy something, let's say on Amazon, you can see that it's showing you 50% offer. Go to the new window, open amazon.com, see whether that offer is there or not. Always validate. Don't trust anyone.
Right.
So that's what I would suggest. And thing is that invest into technology also. If you are having a...
So moving from user to now corporates?
No, with the user, one thing. They have to invest also. So for example, on their mobile devices, they need to ensure that they have a, you know, antivirus already installed, mobile devices, so that at least they will get some protection. And same is the case with their laptop, even if it's a personal use.